Our Father and our God, the great shepherd, the defender of the defenseless, the helper of the helpless, the hope of the hopeless, the father of the fatherless. Here we are to worship your God. Into your presence we have come today. Who can ever be compared to you? We are proud to call you Father, the unchangeable changer, the immovable mover, the creator that was never created, the God that has the power to kill and to make alive. When you say yes, no man dares to say no. That's why we are proud of you. To you be the glory for a day like this, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Indeed, this is the day you have made. You have gathered us together because you have a purpose in our lives. Father, we celebrate you. Come and have your way today. Come and manifest your glory. Eyes are lifted unto you, my Father. Your word says the expectations of the righteous shall not be cut short. Today, meet us at our point of need. As your children, daughters of Zion, the women that are jewels of inestimable value, Daddy, today, glorify yourself. In your church today, let your power come down. Whatever the mountains are that have stood in our way, because you are the Almighty, Father, swallow them up in the name of Jesus Christ. Our coming here will not be in vain. Everyone will have a testimony, and your name will be glorified. Thank you, Abba Father. For in Jesus' awesome name we'll pray. And let the one that is expectant shout the loudest hallelujah. Join me to welcome somebody. Join me to welcome somebody into the presence of the Almighty God. I want to start by saying a very big, big thank you for this wonderful opportunity that I have to be here today. I want to say a big thank you to my Father in the Lord, Daddy. I want to say a big thank you to Him. He's the one that made me. If you know Restoration Court, you'll know that behind every woman that is successful, there is a pastor. When it was posted here, I said they have stolen my father. But I thank God that through him, you are all gathered today. And I pray that where God is taking him, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard. Daddy, thank you. You built my faith. Through him, I learned that there is nothing that God cannot do. Through him, I learned that my problem is not my problem. I should give it to the one who is my father. There's somebody who is going to learn that today. You're going to learn to cast all your cares. And the defender of the defenseless will come to your help in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I also want to thank my mommy especially. God bless you, mommy. Looking as young as ever. I blushed when she called me mommy. Amen. Mommy, you are a wonderful woman. The humility I see in her, it causes me every day to be more humble. She's been wonderful. Behind every successful man is a woman. That is the real pastor. Mommy, thank you for taking care of that. And thank you for taking care of this great church. Church, I welcome you all this morning. Let's give Jesus a clap offering. This morning, I'm meant to be speaking on the great shepherd, the defender of the defenseless. Turn with me to the book of Psalm 23. Psalm 23, verse 1 to 6. Say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Is there anybody who is saying amen?
Amen.
Let your amen be powerful.
Amen.
The God we serve is an awesome God. The God we serve is more than able to do what we imagine he can do. Until you know God and how powerful he is and what he can do in your life, you don't know him. Daniel 11:32b. That happens to be my favorite scripture. He says, they that know their God, they shall be strong and they shall do exploits. Knowing God is what helps you to access the goodness that is in him. Knowing God is what helps you to become who he has called you to be, because he is a purposeful God. There is a purpose in your life. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, you will know God and you will fulfill destiny. God is ever ready to help the helpless and defend the defenseless. He is the joy of his people. He loves it when you are happy. He loves it when you are celebrating. And I know he loves it seeing us this morning in his presence, because I know he's going to bless somebody. He derives his being from none, but he gives being to all. That's why we call him the God that was never created. He's not a man-made God. He's the chief shepherd, the defender of the defenseless, the all-powerful God. Before you know him as a chief shepherd, you must know who a shepherd is. Who is a shepherd? A shepherd is a person who takes care of the sheep. A person that is willing to lead the sheep by example to green pasture and to safety. A shepherd is a person who has a close and personal relationship with the sheep. A person who is extremely familiar with the sheep. And he knows them by their names. He knows they are going out and they are coming in. A shepherd is a person who cares, who guides, who feeds, who provides, and who protects the sheep. That's the definition of a shepherd. And I know in the light of this definition, we'll be seeing so many. We have mothers, we have fathers, we have pastors, caregivers, here and there. Yeah, shepherds. We are the ones who actually keep the flock. They are shepherds. But we have the great shepherd. The shepherd of shepherds. The one that shows shepherds what to do. He teaches them how to lead their flock. In the workforce, we call him the Lord of the vineyard. The master, the controller, the commander-in-chief. In verse 1 of that text we read, Psalm 23, David said, the Lord is my shepherd. He personalized it. Until you personalize God in your life, you will not encounter him. David personalized him because David knew him. Jesus himself revealed himself as the chief shepherd. I read the Bible, but when I come across the words of Jesus, I don't joke with them.
In John chapter 10, verse 11 to 12, Jesus himself said, he was revealing himself as the great shepherd. He said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. Jesus is the great shepherd. And that is because he did what no other shepherd has ever been able to do. He made the ultimate sacrifice for the sheep. He died on the cross of Calvary to save the souls of those in his care. Until today, his death is still availing unto each and every one of us. Is there somebody who is enjoying him? Say, I'm enjoying Jesus. Amen. Tell your neighbor, look at me well. I'm enjoying Jesus. He keeps me very well. He watches over me. He provides for me. Oh, he's my strength. He's my joy. He's the breath on the inside of my being. If I'm talking about you, shout a big hallelujah. Jesus is the defender of the defenseless. He defined his ministry himself. He said, make no joke of the reason why I came. And he's telling somebody today, know why I came. I came for you. And that's in the book of Luke chapter 4, verse 18. Luke 4, verse 18. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he had anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He had sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. He made it clear. I came to restore. I came to restore joy. I came to restore peace. I came to restore love. I came to heal. He is your healer. That's why it's called the Balm of Gilead. I want to tell you, outside of him, you are nobody. The Bible says it's in him we live. It's in him we move. It is in him we have our being. Isaiah 40 verse 11. There's a song there that I love so much, that celebrates who Jesus is as a great shepherd. And I love that song. I'm going to sing it. I want to put it on the board. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. You know, sometimes when I imagine how God cares for us, I don't know how he sorts us out, you know. He gives the right thing to the right person. He knows how to take care of those who are widows. He knows how to take care of husbands. He knows how to take care of those who are sick. He knows how to take care of those who are weeping on the inside. It's possible for you to be weeping on the outside. You are looking very well, but inside you are crying. He can wipe away tears from the heart. That's who he is. He is the chief shepherd. He knows all things and he sees all things. He is the one that maketh a way where there seems to be no way. Men will say your life has ended. But when he says no, no, it becomes. And I'm prophesying to the life of somebody. Whoever said it's over with you is in trouble. Because God is starting new things concerning you today. Jehovah is starting new things concerning you. If you believe that, shout hallelujah. Jesus is engaged by promise and by covenant to bless his people. He is to be praised for tender mercy and compassion. He has a heart of compassion. He ever cares for the afflicted and the oppressed. He loves to be near them. Everyone that is in trouble, look around. He's there by their corner. So when people forsake you, when you think you are alone, you are not alone. He's always there. He's the comforter of the comfortless. Ever there. Even when you are alone in your room and you think nobody is there, he's there. Even where you are seated now, I'm telling you, he's right there by your side. Tell your neighbor, neighbor. Yes, Sit well. Make way. He's all around me. He's to my left. He's to my right. He dwells on the inside. He makes me more than a conqueror.
Even repenting sinners who are helpless and are exposed more than the fatherless children, they are admitted into his family and they share all his blessings. That's how generous he is. He loves sinners. The Bible says, you know, he saved us while we were sinners. He went to the cross to die for those who hated him. That's a shepherd. I don't know any shepherd who will do that for you. Not even the mother that gave birth to you will go to the cross to die for you. No. Ask your neighbor. Can you die for anyone? No, ask your neighbor. Let's be real. Forget church. Can you die for anyone? Maybe for your husband. Let's try. You know, sometimes it's good to be real. I like to think outside the box and ask myself, let's put the Bible aside. Can you die for anyone? Life is too sweet for anybody to think of dying for someone. It takes only a chief shepherd to go to the cross, to forsake all. He said, I love you so much that I lay down my life for you. Psalm 103 verse 8. The Bible says the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. God from his holy seat in the highest heaven pours down his grace and mercy. He pours down his defense. He pours down his protection, provision on all those who specially need his aid. He never forces himself on people. Psalm 46 verse 1. He says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in danger. So many people enjoy God. So many. And I'm enjoying him. So many are enjoying his uncommon favor. David, in the psalm we have just read, was not an ordinary person. David knew. Outside of God, David was nothing. Because he had nothing. David was young and defenseless. He had no friend. He had no family. Even his father had forgotten him. He was relegated to the background. But he was a carrier of the excellent spirit of Jehovah. Each time David sat down, look at all the psalms he wrote. He was not in a hurry to forget what God had done for him. Oftentimes we forget. But David never forgot. David could remember when he confronted the bear and the lion with bare hands by the divine empowerment of the defender of the defenseless. And that's in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 33 to 36. 1 Samuel 17, verse 33 to 34 to 36. He faced the lion. A man that has the spirit of God on the inside of him can do all things. In the same book of 1 Samuel, the Bible tells us that God empowered him to destroy the mighty Goliath. God made an ordinary boy, uncouth, unlearned, ordinary, forgotten, forsaken. God made him to deliver his nation. Something more than gold. Something more than gold. The spirit of God in the life of a man is something more than gold, more than gold. Something more than gold, more than gold. Something better than gold. Oh yes. The spirit of God in the life of a man is something more than gold. David was ordinary. Nobody saw anything in him. But David carried an uncommon spirit. He carried the spirit of the chief shepherd. The chief shepherd had made him extraordinary, peculiar. When you have him, you become extraordinary. When you have him, you become a defender like him. You know, not only was God defending David, God made David to be a defender. Amen. You are called not just to be saved, but to save others. How many know they are called to save others?
You are called to love others. You are called to celebrate others. He empowers us. That's the chief shepherd. He breathes his breath upon us. And he sets us upon the rock. And those things that look so impossible, you begin to do them. God is going to empower you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Each time you talk about the deliverance from the chief shepherd, there are far too many stories in the Bible. Too many. But one of the ones that amazes me most is the story of the Israelites. Those people suffered. They were battered. For 430 years, they were in bondage, slavery. Nobody could help them. They were forgotten. They were forsaken. But thank God, he never forsakes. There's a time for everything. And there's a time for God to step in. And when God steps in, who no know will know that you're serving the living God. And when 430 years came, when they were over, God said, enough is enough. The defender of the defenseless has come. Let him that trouble my people trouble them no more. That's the story for somebody today. Because God is standing by you. Whatever problem you came, the one that is your defender is saying to that problem, enough is enough. It's time for your case to be settled. It's time for God to make a way for you. Every door that was shut will be opened in the name of Jesus Christ. Every healing you need, every miracle will come forth today in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. That story is an interesting one. When you go home, read it. Exodus 14, verse 11 to 14. They were now being pursued. I think I like the part of the story where they were, you know, there were so many miracles that God performed because he wanted Pharaoh to let the children go. He said, let my people go. I'm warning you, Pharaoh. Let them go. And Pharaoh thought it was business as usual. He didn't know the God that we serve. That your problem that thinks it's business as usual is in trouble today. The best thing that happened to you was to step into this auditorium. Because that problem, you will see them no more. The Egyptians that pursued you, you will see them no more. And so God told Pharaoh, let my people go. Pharaoh thought it was a joke. And God said, let me just show him small, small. Started sending all sorts of plagues. And he was still resisting. Until God sent the one that mesmerized Pharaoh. In one night, God killed all the firstborns. All. He didn't leave one. Including Pharaoh's own. Including the firstborn of even the cattle, everywhere. Ah! Pharaoh saw the finger of the Lord. The defender of defenseless has a finger. He has the power that passes all power. He moved in the midst of his people. And I want to tell you, Pharaoh pursued them. Pursue them out. Go and serve your God. And tell your God to even bless me too. Oh, your enemies will begin to pray to your God. They will ask you, where is the God you are serving, because they want to follow him. In the name of Jesus Christ. I want to go and read that story because it's very interesting. Because he pursued them to the Red Sea. That's the point I'm coming to. They go to the Red Sea. Ah! They were in the wilderness. And then the army of Pharaoh was pursuing them. Imagine this. Tired. Disenchanted people. Hungry people. Nowhere to turn to. Right in front of them was the Red Sea. Behind them was Pharaoh and his army. To the left, to the right, mountains. Nowhere to go. They were caged in. No man can cage the child of God. I say, no man can cage the child of God. Every troubler of your soul, the Lord will trouble them today. And they cried to the Lord. And Moses cried also. But God said, verse 14, he said, the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the verse I like so much is the one where God said, stand still and see. Tell your neighbor, stand still and see. Stand still and see the power of God. Stand still and see the healing of God. Stand still and see your deliverance. Stand still and know your God is all powerful. Stand still because your change has come. Stand still because God has said your prayer. If you're going to stand still and God will manifest in your life, shout a big amen. Amen. Suddenly. the sea was parted. And they walked through. They walked through. The miracle of ages. It has never been done before. Till now, it has not been done. There are some things God will do in your life that has never been seen. God is not a man. They walk through. And then the foolish enemies pursue them. They pursue them. Business as usual. They are walking. We are on horses riding. If you read through and see what God did, the Bible says the angel of the Lord moved, went to the chariots of the Egyptians and began to dismantle the wheels. This God has a sense of humor. He has a sense of humor. No, suddenly, their chariots, they were wobbling. What happened to my tire now? What is wrong? What is wrong? Meanwhile, the children of Israel, they were going, where will I pump my tire? Do I carry the chariot? Do I roll it? What will I do? As they were doing that, the children of Israel, they were going. And all their tires punctured, confusion everywhere in their midst. And suddenly, the sea closed on them. God will swallow your enemies. The defender of the defenseless will swallow your enemies. Hey, before they know it, they'll be asking you, what did you do? Because even the Israelites could not explain it. After they crossed, because I'm sure when they were walking, because of the fear of those pursuing them, they didn't even look back. No time. They were just going. But by the time they looked back, what God said, he said, Egyptians you saw before, you will see them no more. By the time they crossed over and they looked back, the enemies were gone. Your enemies will be gone. I say your enemies will be gone. In the name of Jesus Christ. How do we know that the defender of defenseless can help us? God is the Almighty. Isaiah 63 verse 1 says he's the God Almighty. You must have assurance on the inside of you. Deuteronomy 32 verse 39. Deuteronomy 32 verse 39 says God can kill and make alive. The one that can kill is the one you should fear. Don't fear your problems. Don't fear anything that seems to be limiting you. Just fear God. Because he's the one that has the power. Oh, until he says it's over for you, you are not going anywhere. Nobody can stop your life. Tell your neighbor, nobody can quench your life. The God you serve, he can kill and make alive. In the book of Isaiah 41, verse 10 to 13, Isaiah 41, 10 to 13, the Bible says, God will strengthen me. God will heal me. God will uphold me. And God will disgrace and confound and reduce all my enemies to nothing. And he will cause my foes to perish. But these are words that are powerful. These are words that came by revelation. Such words must get into our being and help us to begin to know God the way he should be known. In Numbers 23, verse 19, I'm talking to somebody who may be going through challenges. You need to know these things about God so that you'll be strengthened from the inner man, because it takes you knowing God, building faith to be able to touch him. In Numbers 23 verse 19, the Bible says God will fulfill all his promises. He is not a man that he should lie. Talk to your neighbor, say neighbor. The defender of the defenseless is not a man that he should lie. Whatever he has said he's going to do, he's surely going to do it. He's surely going to do it. I don't care how long it takes. Delay is not denial. God will remember you. I said Jehovah will remember you. Before the end of this year, everything that God has spoken concerning you, they are coming to pass. I said they are coming to pass. Whether the devil likes it or not, the voice of the Lord has spoken concerning you, that this year, 2015, is your year. Who is the person who can reverse it? When God has spoken, so it is. God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Quickly, I want to ask, why does God wait until you are totally helpless before he comes to your help? That's a big question. Because sometimes you pray and pray and pray. See, this is the time I need it. He's watching. Why is it that it does not come at that particular time? He says, so that you will not tamper with what he wants to do. Because in his time, he makes all things beautiful. God is so real. He's not the author of confusion. So when he wants to move, he moves. I can't forget what I went through with our parish when we had the we had to pay for the land, 45 million naira. It was like a brick wall. Everywhere was closed. Nobody was ready to help us. And that's why I say, I thank God that I have daddy as my daddy. Everywhere I went, no help. They said, you call yourself a pastor. Handle your problem yourself. 45 million. I'm not small money now. I said, what kind of church is this? What kind of joke? I'm telling you, I was wearing it like a big mountain. When I'm walking, I said, hey, female pastor. Then God brought daddy as our zonal pastor. And I went to him, daddy, I have this big mountain. I don't know what to do. Everywhere I go, they said, nobody can help me. Where will I get the money from? You know what he told me? He said, look at me, straight in the eyes. What is the name of the church? I said, the Redeemed Christian Church of God. Go and rest. Hand it over to God. Huh? I should hand it over to God. What kind of advice is this one? I should hand it over. He said, don't worry yourself. It's God's church. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. Ah. My prayer point changed. I said, Papa, I've just been told that it's your church. Then why am I worrying? Hey, carry this mountain. Carry. I want to tell you, that was the beginning of the beginning. If you want to hear the rest of the story, come to Restoration Court. How God put the strategy in place that within 6 months, 6 months, 45 million was over. When he steps in, you know, even till today, that's one miracle that when I remember, I shiver. Because you need to know who I was at that time. I was just a teacher. Teacher. Even if you gather my salary till I die, from when I was born till I die. No. I'm not trying to... I mean, you know, we are teachers, you know. Those who are teachers, no. I'm not talking of big teachers. I'm talking of the real down... trodden teacher. Where will you start from? I looked at my car. Father, is it this car we give to you? How much can the car bring? We are talking of 45 million. Tell your neighbor. 45 million. But your father, who owns all banks, he directed all the money from every direction. He said, I'm the defender of defenseless. My daughter has no one to help her. But I will show her that I'm the Almighty God. God showed me. Until tomorrow, he's still showing me. He's still showing me. I'm amazed. And because I'm amazed, I stand in awe of him. When it was time for us to build, to move from the down below and go up, I looked up to him again. I said, Papa, do it again. And all of us cried to him, Papa, do it again. And this time he did beyond everybody's wildest imagination. In 4 months, we started with 1 million. At the end of 4 months, we had built the church with 30 million naira. And he made sure, he asked me to leave my job so that he would not say it's because of my salary. Because some people say, that woman, I'm sure she's connected. But the truth is that I'm really connected to the defender of the defenseless. Daddy, thank you for connecting me. Every pastor needs a pastor. And you are here. People advise you, do you listen? God is talking to you today, and I know you are going to change. You're going to begin to trust God. Because when you trust him, he moves. He begins to do big, big things. While we're expecting from God. Okay, I was talking about the reasons why God, you know, takes time to make it to come. It's mainly because he wants to build faith in us. He wants us to know that he's the Almighty God. He wants us to lean on him and not lean on men. He wants us to see the wonders. When God's miracle comes, you can tell that it is God. You can tell. You can tell. Even those who are meant to help you, they'll be staring at you because they thought they had closed the door against you. They say, how did it happen? It's going to be your story. I say it's going to be your story. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. He said, what do we do? Why we are waiting for God? Because there's waiting time. You must wait. While you are waiting for God to do what he has to do, you are not to sit down and be crying, murmuring. Ah, Father, I thought you said it's this year I'm marrying. Hey, the year is coming to an end. No! Give it to him. While you are waiting for God to fulfill his purpose in your life, you must develop great faith in him. You need to live a life of gratitude. Oftentimes, you don't even thank him for the one he has done before. Learn to thank him. I have learned to rewind my thanksgiving. I told people in my church, I said, from now to the end of the year, don't ask for anything again. Let's just be praising him. Say, Papa, I remember the one you did in January. Thank you. Ah, in February, I remember. Thank you. What of March? Write them down. There are too many. Many of us, we have areas of thanksgiving. Go back and thank him. While you are thanking him, he's working out his purposes concerning you. Is there somebody to be grateful to God? Shout a big hallelujah. We need to be like him. He wants us to resemble him. If God is compassionate, if God is the God of mercy, you too need to be compassionate. You need to learn to be like God. In the book of Luke 6, verse 36, the Bible says, be ye therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. God created us in his image, and we need to be like him. There are so many areas you too can defend people. Amen. There are so many areas we can defend people. And I know that as women, female shepherds, there are so many things you can do. Many of us spend time grumbling, complaining. Ah, my business is not moving. My business. Well, have you done what God put in your care? Have you taken care? What are the things you can do? Number one, you must develop a heart of compassion. Every woman. You know, I was asking for the meaning of woman. Adam was created man. And the woman, woman. And they said it's womb man. The woman that has womb. You know, that you can carry, your stomach can carry babies. Do you know God that created a woman and put the baby in the stomach has given a woman the heart of compassion, the heart of mercy? Do you think it's easy to keep the baby in the womb? If God gives it to men, I'm telling you, some of them will fly through window with the pregnancy. But God gave it to women because we are gentle. We know how to care. You have the heart of a mother. You are meant to be loving. And God expects you to use that to do exploit for him. Women are naturally gifted and can easily be used to touch lives. And the care must be extended to every aspect of your family. Learn to be a mother. Raise godly offsprings unto God. Learn to utilize your time. Let God fill you. I tell people, let God fill you. Let God know that there is somebody. You know, you're a woman in the church, you get to the church, let the church know you know God. I tell people, anybody who is not passionate for God does not know God. When I get into church, I am consumed by his awesomeness. And I tell the Lord, in heaven, you look down, you will feel me. Many of us just go in and out of church. You don't touch lives of people. You don't do anything. And God is not in a hurry to do your own when you don't do for him. Because I know his word says, I love them that love me. How well do you love God? If you love him, you will know. If you love him, it will show. Love is meant to be practicalized. I've heard people say, anything you not like, not talk. Me, I know I love God. Oh, no lie. No lie. Love that is not expressed is not love. It's pretentious love. The real love, the agape kind of love, is the love that Jesus came to demonstrate that made him go to the Calvary. He did something. He said, the Bible says, for God so loved that he gave. And Jesus so loved that he willingly agreed to go. And you now, it's your turn. Me, I so love that I sit down. I grumble. I cry. God will say, who do you resemble? Ask your neighbor. Neighbor, who do you resemble? Let God fill you. So we need to be compassionate. We need to be loving. Number two, you must be generous and hospitable. God loves people who are generous. You want to receive from God the little he has given to you. What have you done with it? God wants to make you a defender of the defenseless. Now you can't start by touching the lives of people who come your way. God expects us to be generous. There are many examples of women in the Bible who distinguish themselves through acts of generosity. Time will not permit me, but I'll just mention a few. The story of Dorcas, Acts 9:36. Okay, I think my time is up. Okay. Acts 9:36-41. The Bible tells us that that woman, she loved widows. She cared for them. And because of that, when she died, widows cried until heavens opened and God brought back her life. Your generosity can bring your miracle faster than you desire. The life of Abigail. Abigail is a woman. 1 Samuel 25, verse 17 to 19. She was generous to her wicked husband. Her husband was devilish. No, some the women of her time, some will say, "No, mind them now, so the man be." But Abigail stood in the gap. She defended her husband. She spoke in favor of the man. And she said, no, please show mercy. And she spoke forth. And because of her interference, David did not kill the husband. Because the husband offended David greatly. When you go back, read the story. That's a woman who stood in the gap and played the role that God wanted her to play. There are many other women. Deborah, in the book of Judges, the Bible tells us that she was an outstanding national leader. But primarily, an excellent wife. She was good. A woman of substance. She could lead men. Many of us sitting here as women, we can be better than we are. Don't be satisfied with where you are. There is room enough at the top. Before I thank God I came to redeem, before I came, he used to say women cannot be pastors. I said, "Father, I don't know. Anything you say I will be. But when I got to the church, they say, "I saw women pastors." I said, "Papa, whatever it will take me there, step by step." Until you make up your mind that you are not satisfied with where you are, God will not take you to the highest step. Is there a woman that says, "I'm going higher"? Wave your hand and say, "I'm going higher." God will take you higher in the name of Jesus Christ. God is still looking for female shepherds like these ones to manifest his glory. He has endowed his children with gifts. Many of us are loaded, talents, resources. You have money, you have houses, you are keeping them to yourself. You can use them to help. You can help in so many ways. You can help, to alleviate the poverty in the lives of people. Show kindness, show love. Reach out and touch people. You know, my mentor, I have so many. And one of them is Mommy G.O. That woman has a heart for the needy, for the compassionate, she has a heart of compassion for destitute. Do you know you go to Holy Ghost night? When you finish, you go, Abby. Some people dump their children there. No address, no name, nothing. She gathers all the children. You don't hear the announcement. There's a place they call Habitation of Hope. When you go there, you see motherless children. Some are in the university already. Dumped. Especially during convention and Holy Ghost Congress. When people have gone, you see so many babies abandoned. She gathers them. She becomes their mothers. Some of us cannot even gather small children. Maybe your family, there's one child that is not doing well, saying, "They can't live with me." No. God is talking to you. Let God expand your heart today. Be like God. God has enough room for everybody. In your heart, reach out and look for who you can help. And I pray that God will help you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I'm rounding up. God wants us to have access to his power as a great shepherd. You want to receive from him today? It's not free for all. There are things you must do. You are here. You are not born again. God reserves the best for his children. If there are those that are outside, until you know him, you will just be an onlooker. You come to church, you watch, you observe, clap your hands and go. Remain the same. But when you connect to him, you connect to him, number one, by being asking for genuine salvation. You must be born again. You must give your life to Christ. And you must love God. You love God with a passion. Love his word. Everything he asks you to do, do. As in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 2. Obey him in everything. And watch what he will do. Number three. You must develop a persistent prayer life. You are not praying. God loves people who pray. Prayer connects you to God. Talk cannot connect you. Crying cannot connect you. Murmuring does not connect us. Going from one friend to the other will not connect you to the defenseless, the defender of the defenseless. But when you pray, something will happen. Blind Bartimaeus prayed. until you receive this miracle. You must pray until heavens will open unto you. Somebody will pray. Operation push. Pray until something happens. And then the next one, you must be disciplined. The discipline in our home. Raise children for God. Make an altar for the Almighty God. A family that prays is a family that stays together. You must have role models, people you learn from. This is very important. You heard me talking about our father in the Lord and our mother in the Lord. I've learned from them. And as long as I keep following him, I'm telling you, I can never get it wrong. There are role models in your life. Jesus is one. Pastor E.A. Adeboye. And there are some anointed men of God and women of God that you look upon and say, Father, help me. I want to be like this one. God will help you. All of these things must be put together so that we'll learn and become who God wants us to be. Then finally, you must be a worshiper. God loves you who can worship him. Some of the things that you want to get, all you need to do is to worship God. Some things will not happen until you worship. Go and ask King Jehoshaphat. They were besieged by so many armies. And then the Lord said, worship me. And then as they were worshiping God, the Bible says God laid ambushment and mesmerized their enemies. Learn to worship. Learn to worship God. Learn to make God feel good. Worship brings down his glory. And when God comes down, the Bible says God inhabits the praises of his people. He lives in your worship. When God lives in your worship, you become a carrier of glory. And when the glory of God rises upon you, who can trouble you? No man can trouble you. Tell your neighbor, be a worshiper. And that's in Psalm 67 verse 5 to 7. Psalm 67 verse 5 to 7. Lead by example. Let your light shine. What God has done, let others know. Celebrate God. Don't hide the good things God is doing in this church. Let people know. Win souls for him. And so let God be proud of you. You know, we are the light of the world. In other words, God is saying, be a good role model that guides, that leads, that motivates, that counsels, and that encourages. And it will make you a sunbeam. A sunbeam. In other words, there will be rays of glory radiating from you, touching everyone that comes your way. Is there someone who says, I want to be a role model? I want to stand out. I want to be here for the defender of the defenseless. When he comes seeking who to use, I'll be here. Is there somebody who wants to give his life to Christ? Let's be on our feet this morning and just talk to him. You want to give your life to Christ and you want to say, Lord, I've heard about you this morning. I need you. I want to surrender my life to you. I want to experience the power that is in you, oh God. I want to experience your glory. You want to give your life to Christ? I just give you a minute to begin to come out. You are here. Let's be on our feet. You are here. You want to surrender your life to Jesus. Just wave your hand above your head and say, I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to give my life to Jesus. It's not about people around you. It's about you. Now is the time. Is there somebody you want to surrender your life to Jesus this morning? You want to say, Father, I want to know you more and more. I want to access you. Okay, I believe we are all born again. We give God the glory. Is there somebody coming? Amen. We're going to quickly take this point. Say, Father! Father. I want you to pray with all your power. Say, Father! Father. The defender of the defenseless. I surrender all to you. I surrender my problems. Physically, spiritually, maritally. Oh, surrender all. Financially. Father, please meet my needs. You are the defender of the defenseless. Is there anything you cannot do? I surrender to you. I surrender my problems. Physically, maritally, financially. In every ramification, I surrender to you, oh God. Show me help. Help me. I need you. I need you. I need you, oh God. I need you, Jehovah. I need you. Send me out from your sanctuary. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, my Father. In Jesus' name we'll pray. Amen. You're going to take another prayer point. Say, Father. He wants to hear you. Blind Bartimaeus cried until Jesus had to pay attention to him. There were other people, but Jesus separated him to be attended to because he was serious. Is there someone who is serious this morning? It will show from your prayer. Say, Father. The defender of the defenseless. Bring me to a level where I can help others. Bless me. Let me have overflow. Bless me, my God. Enlarge my coast. Enlarge my heart. Bless me in every area, oh God. Oh, may I become a blessing. May I become a helper of the helpless. May I become the hope of the hopeless. Oh, you came to save me that I will save others. You came to bless me that I will bless others. Help me, oh God. Oh, thank you, my Father. Glory be to your holy name. Glory be to your holy name. Glory be to your holy name. Oh, thank you, my Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Finally, you're going to pray. You're going to say, Father, the defender of the defenseless, as you crossed the Israelites through the Red Sea to the dry land, cross me over to year 2016. Speedily, open your mouth and talk to God. Every enemy waiting for you on the way is in trouble. You will not die. You will need to declare his glory in the land of the living. He will cross you over. Oh, safe landing will be your portion. In every area, God will cross you over. God will cross you over. He will make a way for you. He will satisfy you. Hail the Almighty. Hail your Father. Oh, we give you praise, oh God. Oh, we worship you. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, the helper of the helpless, thank you. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. For what you are making of us, oh God, we will fulfill destiny. And your name will be glorified. Thank you, my Father. In Jesus' name we pray. And so, Father, we thank you. What an awesome God you are. You are the powerful God. That's why we are proud of you. Each time we hear of the miracles you've done, oh, it empowers us. Because you are Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Daddy, be it unto each and every of us. According to our heart's desire today, nobody will go back the same. Speedily, that which we need to download in our lives, Father, download in the name of Jesus Christ. Whatever has paused our testimony, whatever has seized our joy, Father, put an end to them in the name of Jesus Christ. The Egyptians we saw before, we'll see them no more. Oh, today, because you are the defender of defenseless, put an end to shame, put an end to reproach, put an end to lack, put an end to poverty, put an end to stagnancy, in the name of Jesus. Have your way, be glorified, for in Jesus' awesome name we pray.